Hi, and welcome to the Bad Taste Book Club. We talk about novels that are essentially a beautiful cheeseburger.
Tasty and delicious.
Alright, so this book is by Megan Cube, and it is Southern Gothic, Leather and Lace.
Which is the first book of what is hopefully to be a series of many delicious books.
Yeah, I really hope so, because I loved this book. It was so good.
So this is a cross between, I guess, an urban fantasy with a heavy dose of romance. Its origins was actually as a short story in the Twisted Romance anthology that Image Comics did. And then from there, it got fleshed out. There were a few short stories released with these characters and in this world. And then it became this wonderful novel.
Basically, it takes place in the sort of typical urban fantasy world where monsters walk among us. It seems to be sort of more the cryptozoological kind of urban fantasy than the fantasy urban fantasy.
Yeah. It's hard to say because this is the first book, so we have kind of like a limited scope.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've definitely got, it's a very urban fantasy.
Yes. Takes place in America South, which tends to be pretty rich pickings for urban fantasy. I mean, I guess you've got the Southern Vampire / Sookie Stackhouse / I think it has a third name series that also is in the South.
Yeah.
Which was pretty popular, so I wonder if that's kind of where these all come from.
Yeah, there's also like a lot of space, like empty space that leaves holes for you to fill.
Yeah, a lot of weird country towns where everybody knows everybody, and if you weren't from there, you could 100% think that maybe there's something not quite right about the people. I guess that's why there's a lot of horror set in the South as well.
Look, the Southern Gothic as like a genre is
pretty big.
Yeah, it's a fine tradition. So what we've got is the base plot is we have two main characters who are effectively monster hunters or bounty hunters hunting monsters. When monsters go kill people, they have to deal with it. So our plot centres around some were-deers that appear to be killing and eating people and trying to hunt them down. Meanwhile, our lead monster hunter, Cash, and his new partner, Dorian, who is a vampire with anxiety, are trying to sort out their personal issues while also deal with this case.
So you start off with the first were-deer murder, and then Dorian and Cash trying to bag a mothman.
Yes, a mothman.
Which, as far as setting up your tone of your world, is just beautiful.
It's like absolute chaos. They're in Cash's truck and something goes wrong and Dorian doesn't drive, but, you know, he's not really the best with guns either.
Yeah. So mothmen can fly very fast and Dorian can't shoot. And Cash, who's our other main character, also Cash is a really urban fantasy name. I was Cash Leroy, but it is cute.
I feel like he is leaning so hard into certain archetypes while also, like, challenging them at the same time
that
can forgive the very silly, fun name.
It is short for Cassius, and then they go to the police department. So the setup of this world, which is a little, there's a little bit of wiggle room around certain aspects of the world that I found a little confusing, but
I think it feels very loose. Like,
yes.
I think it's a world full of contradictions and I don't think we get enough time to fully flesh all of
them
out.
No, and I definitely think that the next book could tighten this up. And this is an arc, so there might be some tightening between now and when it's published as well. In this world, people kind of know that they're not alone, is what I get from it. There's a certain level of, we don't think about it, but there are some very obviously unexplained murders that happen. And
there is a vampire slum down the road that we don't go to.
I mean, I guess the thing is, like, and this is where I got confused. So apparently people don't know that monsters exist in, at least in the numbers that they do, but maybe not at all. And, but there is a vampire slum. But now that I think about it, people don't go to slums. Like, if you don't live there, you don't go there. So maybe it's just a matter of, like, yeah, that's where the, like, I guess Dorian's last name is French. It's like the French slum where all the weird French people live, and maybe some of the weird French people have weird ears. Who cares? Like, so, you know.
Yeah, because the vampires in this world are pretty, like, monstrous all the time. They've got weird eyes, they've got fangs,
pointy ears.
The
blush.
Yes.
The ears blush. It's very adorable.
Whereas a lot of the other creatures, Mothman included, I believe, are shapeshifters. So they can turn into people and just pretty much exist unchecked within the human population. So it's not super clear from this book how much the general populace is aware that there are shifters existing within the human population, and if so, to what extent. But the
general, they must know about vampires.
Yeah, they must know about vampires. But generally speaking, it's a, like, they're not aware that there's quite as many around as there is. Yeah.
And I guess the thing is, people do, even, like, in real life, exert a certain amount of, like, blindness to things that they don't want to see. So, and I really liked talking about vampires, how different these vampires are to what I would assume vampires to be normally. Like, even in urban fantasy, they're usually upper class and fancy, and in this world they are not. They live in a slum, so they're not doing so well for themselves. There's a cabal, I think they're called the Triad.
Yeah, they're effectively, I think historically there was a royal family situation, and then they lost power because, of course, they did. Effectively, because no one really wanted to get involved in vampires, there's a power vacuum. So what fills that? Organized crime.
Hey!
And
essentially, they're obligate carnivores, is kind of how I see them.
Like, yeah.
They have to eat meat. They don't have to eat people, but they have to eat meat. And
they have to eat fairly
blood.
Yeah, and they, like, fairly rare meat. Like, their diet doesn't allow for them to go vegan. No vegan vampires here.
No. So we do a little bit of time travelling in this. So we go back to when they very first met. In the short story that you read, was that about that first meeting?
One of the short stories is that first meeting. Yeah. I did actually wonder how you, as someone who hadn't read those short stories, came to that.
I found it pretty easy to keep up with it, and I have been really out of it this week, so it did a pretty good job.
Yeah, it's a good comfort read, like
it
a
is.
Popcorn read.
Oh,
I
it's
love
so nice.
It.
I really appreciate how easily he transitioned from being a customer service worker to being a hunter. It's like, same skills, just, like, at the end of the day, I get to punch the people I hate back.
I really like the way that they meet. It's
super
cute. Like, Dorian's having a bad day. He's currently crashing with his best friend again,
who also is his ex-girlfriend from high school for, like, 2 months.
Which is honestly kind of, yeah, that sounds about gay.
Yeah, and also it's kind of pathetic.
Yeah. Goes to work his stupid bar job, and he's not really looking forward to it, and he sees Cash outside, and there's a bit of a, like, oh, look, there's someone hot. There's some eye contact.
Like, one of the Triad dudes comes in, and because he's Triad, Dorian has to go over and above and kind of, like, keep drinks coming and doesn't get any pay or tips from
No tips,
this.
Yeah.
And he exists on his tips because this is America, and America has a terrible system of paying people.
This Triad guy is a bad dude and likes to eat teen girls.
Yes, it kind of comes across as, because as we talked about before, like, sex and vampire bites are interlinked, it kind of comes across as he's a predatory dude. He's eating teen and young adult women exclusively, and that is
not good.
Not good. And that's where our hunter comes in.
So he comes in, walks up to the bar, and then proceeds to attempt to, I guess he attempts to sort of arrest him, knowing damn well it's going to end up with him having to kill him.
It doesn't go as well as Cass would hope, but Dorian has had enough of everything and smashes the guy over the head with a cash register, neatly losing his job, his paycheck, and because it's Triad, he's probably his right to live. Cass, I guess because he's really cute, and I guess because he feels really bad, is like, you could come live with me. I could use a roommate and you seem to have good instincts.
Yeah, and then a beautiful friendship begins.
Yes.
Yes. So Dorian goes home, collects his emotional support dog, a tiny chihuahua.
Dominique, his tiny chihuahua.
Who's an emotional support dog.
Yeah. I liked that they were pretty no-nonsense about his anxiety. I have anxiety and I have an emotional support dog. Cool. That's how you should treat that sort of thing. Like, it shouldn't be a big deal.
It's also really refreshing because Cash is very much a macho man who hunts monsters for a living, but he's just not a dick.
Yeah, he's macho without being, like, misogynist, and I really appreciate that.
There is almost no toxic masculinity. Yeah. In fact, I don't even think there is any toxic masculinity
in him.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that. That sort of character, So we're recording this just after the supernatural shenanigans happened.
Cash is absolutely the character that someone who really likes Supernatural and got really fed up
yes.
with that bullshit yeah. wrote in response.
He's like a wholesome Dean.
Yeah, so if you're mad about the Supernatural finale, read this book.
He's kind of like that macho masculine hunter who also loves to do karaoke to Stevie Nicks and is 100% fine with having like a very effeminate vampire who is, and they're both sure,
they're both
Cash
queer.
Is gay.
Yeah.
And
I think Dorian's like pan bi.
All vampires are bi.
I would like to continue my ongoing tirade that there is no such thing as a heterosexual vampire. Fight me. He doesn't give a shit what anyone thinks about him. No. Like, it is his tradition. There's a bit where he's a little nervous because his post-hunting ritual is he goes to his favourite karaoke place, he has a regular room, and he sings Stevie Nicks until he gets bored. And he only sings Stevie Nicks. Apparently he has a very good voice too.
Yes, and he looks very nice in the pink lights.
Yes, very lovely in the pink lights.
We know this because that is all of Dorian's, like, inner monologue. He's just like, he's so pretty and I love him so much.
Fuck.
Oh, we live together. This is a problem. I can't talk to him. I actually really appreciated as well that Cass was has been the more emotionally vulnerable character in this for that kind of character to ever bring up emotion.
Yeah, and I also think even the reason for the miscommunication, it makes a lot of sense when you look at the way the characters, they're interacting.
I get it. It's just very frustrating to read from two characters' perspectives that they both love each other and they won't get together free! Free!
But it was so satisfying when they did!
But it took so long!
I mean, we did have flashbacks. The flashbacks throughout the book, because we have these, like, current time point of view of the murders and then like some flashbacks to the growth of Dorian
yes.
and Cash's relationship implies that they did hook up at one point.
Yes.
Because there's only so much teaching someone to fight who you're very attracted to that doesn't end in sex. Which I get it. Like,
it is a weird power dynamic because, you know, I guess he's not his boss.
Well, Dorian's kind of relying on him for a house and, and income.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he doesn't really know the hunting trade himself. He's being taught.
Yeah. It is awkward. I still wanted them to get together faster. No, it was a good slow burn, I have to say. I really did appreciate it. But if you're somebody who gets easily frustrated by miscommunication or lack of communication, then this is probably not the love story for you.
Look, if you really, really want your stupid vampire to go run off and cry in the back of a strip club because he accidentally walked in on his roommate who he's in love with's ex-boyfriend naked in that apartment, then you're gonna love this book.
Going on from that, I'd say the sex scenes are pretty mature. It's like an M rating. In terms of
this is not, I think it is pretty upfront because I think a lot of people mistake all urban fantasy for also being YA.
Yeah.
This is not YA.
No.
Both in terms of the sex scenes are fairly explicit when they do come up. They're not, like, gratuitous. Like,
no.
It just doesn't bother fading to black.
Yeah, and there's no purple prose, really. It's just, like, and then we fucked, and this is how we fucked.
And it was hot.
Yes. And we enjoyed it. Good times.
And also, to be honest, the horror aspects, like, the kill scenes are all pretty freaking graphic.
Yeah,
like,
they are. Not, so if you go back to, like, when we did the explicitly horror, it's not explicitly horror. And I would say it's not as graphic as that, but it is reasonably graphic.
Yeah, they, again, it's definitely an adult's book. It's not a YA book. If you're looking for a YA book,
this is not that.
This is not that. As all this inter... We mostly just talked about the interpersonal issues because, honestly, the characters are really what drive this book.
Yes. The plot is interesting, actually. I really... it's minimal, but I did like it.
Yeah, and I think that's also dragged down a little bit by the fact that this is the... them getting together for good.
Yes.
So I'd be very curious to see how a future series would evolve, because once they're sort of together, yeah, they'll still have interpersonal issues. I don't know, maybe Doreen has to meet Cash's parents, which will be fun, I'm sure. But we can focus more on their dynamic while the main plot's going on.
Yeah, I definitely think some series struggle once the will they won't they ends, but I think because they're starting off with that being a very, like, the first book is them getting together, I think that is a good sign.
Yeah, because if your main point of contention is will they get together or not, you have to keep hitting reset at a certain point.
Yes.
Like, you cannot let your characters keep growing and not get together unless they lose the tension. And then if they lose the tension, there's no interest in it.
Yes, that can be a real problem. But I think this book had enough interesting going on other than that, that this is really good. And I do like their hunter partnership as well. Because Dorian, being a monster, he has access to a world that Cash doesn't. Wait, I realised something about that name just then. Oh, fucking course. Oh my god. I'm so dumb. Her name's Dorian. Oh, fuck me. She'll go in. Who knows?
She's pretty open about it on Twitter.
Anyways.
The advertising pitch when the season finale went down did go, my monster hunter and supernatural creature actually fuck.
Super hell! What the fuck was that about? Super hell! They're killing your gays, and then they're super helling your gays.
And that's the episode tag.
Because Dorian is a vampire, he has access to people that Cash does not. Because they don't want to talk to a human whose whole job is killing them, weirdly.
Yeah, and also the flip side of it is there is a bit of... Dorian has good soft skills, but, you know, he's lived in a slum environment, so he also doesn't know some neighbourhoods.
Yes.
So, okay, so let's talk about the murder plot.
Yes. So, we have two were-deer.
They're both teachers at a school.
Yeah, I think it's Paul and Matthew.
Yeah, I think Paul is the music teacher and Matthew is the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're murdering people. On Matthew's behest, Matthew is angry little incel dude. I don't think he's little. He's definitely got some incel-y vibes, at any rate. He talks about how, like, if he'd murdered that person, they wouldn't be able to look down on him ever again.
Yeah, you know all that toxic masculinity we said Cash doesn't have?
Yes.
It went into Matthew.
Yes. and Paul lost his wife not very long ago.
And started drinking a lot.
Yeah, and kind of has been pulled into this by Matthew. But Paul gets caught. He's been feeling very guilty about this the entire time, though.
Yeah, so we might get it through Paul's point of view for the most part,
yes,
which is him feeling guilty. He particularly feels guilty as soon as he realises he's potentially going to get caught, because he's going to... how it's going to impact his daughter.
Yes, and you get the feeling... it's essentially a two-man cult. He doesn't want his daughter involved at all, and he definitely has very different feelings about it to Matthew.
He's still cooking and eating the organs.
Yeah, he's still... and I don't know. I don't quite get what Paul is getting out of it, other than, like, he feels like he has to do this for some reason.
I did, from like the first sort of point of view and all that, I think he is getting the exhilaration out of the kills. And he obviously enjoys eating the people because he keeps doing that. So sort of as they get zeroed in on, Paul starts like getting panicky, and when Cash and Dorian show up at his school where he works, he panics and runs.
Yes. He then commits suicide by train, and basically is like, tell my daughter that I am sorry and I love her, and I was definitely doing this alone. Definitely alone. And they think, okay, cool, that makes sense.
Done. Job done. Give us our money. We want to
double pay? Heck yes. Let's talk about their relationship.
What is your favourite thing about their relationship?
How in love they are. I really like, actually, how every time Dorian is like, oh, I really like him. And when Cash looks at him, he's like, ears blush. It's so cute. It's so cute, Bree. It's the cutest thing.
I kind of love that Dorian is simultaneously the most delicate vampire, but also if he has to fuck someone up. Yeah.
And there's a really like cute through line where every time, obviously, if you live in a world where monsters look like humans, they act like humans too, and they have human-ish lives, so they often have brothers or spouses or children, and a lot of them try and beat Cass up
actually
like after the fact. So like they'll be like, you killed my brother. Cass is like, yeah, I did, I'm really sorry, they murdered a bunch of people. And then they try and beat him up, and Dorian is there to stop them or let it happen depending on the situation, but usually stop them.
Yeah,
it was going too far.
Yeah, Cash's response is usually like, I really hope they don't hit me in the face. Like, I only just healed the noise from last time.
My face is the pretty part.
He's very willing to, like, not escalate the situation, yeah, and just, like, let them maybe get a few punches in and then sort of shut them down.
Yeah.
Because he's like, yeah, I did just kill their brother.
Yeah, there's a lot of humanity in him, which is, again, quite unusual for this sort of character to be, instead of being like, well, you know, I had to do it. It's like, I had to do it.
I'm sorry.
I'm really sorry. And I realize that you're probably not, like, having a good time right now.
On the topic of the relationship, what did you think of the ex, Max the Mechanic?
Well, he was very attractive, apparently.
Apparently, yes. I kind of enjoyed the weird, like, stabbiness of... So, when they take down the Mothman, it goes under the pickup truck.
Yes.
And then it starts making a funny noise. So it's like, we should probably go to a mechanic to sort that out.
Yeah, because Cash spent his life learning how to shoot people and stab things, not how to fix his car. There are people you can pay for that shit.
Yeah, and, like, that's a whole other skill set he doesn't have.
Yeah.
His hobby was not cars. His hobby was singing Stevie Nicks.
And, I mean, look, that is a perfectly fine hobby for any young boy to have.
I know. I love him so much.
Because the only mechanic he knows is his ex-boyfriend, because there's many mechanics, but he just can't be bothered to find another one. Gosh, that would be too hard.
And it, like, maybe he does get discounts for being so handsome.
Yeah. But not an evil one. And they kind of, like, when they hook up again, it didn't feel... It was clearly Cash who was making the bad decisions this time.
Yeah, and it was a lot of... They were in different spots. Cash couldn't be super open about what he did for a living because there's no way to really know how people are going to respond.
Yes.
And then, like, Max himself was kind of really... The implication is he was probably maybe in it for just a hot piece of ass.
Yeah. And even on Dorian's side, there's not really any,
Like, he has his feelings.
Yeah.
He knows he shouldn't be feeling his feelings. Because he's like,
because he's super low self-esteem.
Yeah, and he's also kind of like, look, I said we need to just be friends. That is going to be better for our long game. So Max, I guess, isn't that bad. If he wants to date him again, that's fine.
There is a very frustrating conversation. But because it was so frustrating, it was excellent when it all came together.
I loved the bit where at one point they're having a conversation and it's like, oh, like deep and meaningful. Oh, actually, no, I don't want to date Max. I want to date you. I'm sorry. And then the doorbell rings.
And here comes a cock-blocking flood.
Which I kind of love, because that is a real thing. Like, yeah. You're just trying to get a job done and then all this other stuff is going on.
What did you think about the conclusion to the plot?
I think it wrapped up very fast, but I don't think it really had time to do much else.
And this is not a criticism of the book, but the plot is pretty sparse, and so there wasn't a huge amount to wrap up.
Yeah, the plot kind of, like, sets up is we have, after Paul gets caught, obviously his friend Matthew keeps killing.
Yeah, because he's a serial killer, guys.
And he pretty much takes the daughter Beth hostage.
Creepy incel dude is a misogynist. Huh, who'd have seen that coming?
Yeah, so, I really liked the wrap-up because it was very easy to make Beth a very passive damsel in distress, but she's actively involved in her own rescuing.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure, like, again, it's a blink and you miss it. Like, she was trying to discover what her dad was up to prior to him dying.
Like, she's very active in the conclusion, which I really appreciate.
Yes, I do like a damsel not in distress.
I just, as much as I was like, oh, it felt a bit quick, but honestly, this whole book is really snappy.
Yeah, it's a light read. I'd say it'd take you maybe 2 hours.
Yeah.
It's definitely a good popcorn read. It has enough world in the background to be interesting without being overwhelming. I actually would say that the strength of this book is all the relationships feel extremely real and not contrived for this book.
Yeah, I really like just the whole dynamic that is very much like they both know that they have bullshit and baggage.
Yes.
And they kind of like look after each other and bounce off one another in a really cute way.
And I really like that Cash is Dorian's like big cheerleader, because that is what Dorian needs. It's just such a healthy relationship, and that's so nice. And because a lot of writers think that you have to tell a story that's drama driven, and that often like relies on some really toxic shit, whereas this is kind of driven by their intense need to not be the first one to say that they love the other person.
I enjoy the fact that the relationship is not the problematic part. They both have their own different kind of baggage.
Yeah,
it's definitely implied that maybe Cash has spent a bit of time using sex for his own self-esteem, much like Dorian.
Yeah. Final thoughts.
I really enjoyed this book. It was definitely like a fun comfort read, and I am super excited to see what happens next and where this series goes. Like, I cannot wait to meet Cash's overbearing mother, who's probably a badass.
Yes, and his overbearing grandmother, who is probably also a badass.
I think they may also be sisters. I seem to recall sisters.
Probably.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and like, I'm just like, I'm very excited for like just more of the vampire culture coming up and more of like people from people's past. I'm sure there's going to be more exes. We're definitely going to get one of Dorian's exes at some point, Like, I just want to see these two stupid idiots navigate life. And I'm really excited to see what, like, weird monster murders pop up.
Yes! I like how different these vampires are from other vampires. Like, it draws on vampire lore, but in terms of urban fantasy, I have not seen anything like these sort of vampires before. And I'm really excited to see where she goes with this, because it's very different, and that is super cool.
Yeah. What are your final thoughts on this one?
There should be more stories about cute vampire boyfriends. That's my final thought. Cute vampire boyfriends who love you. That's nice.
Yeah, it's good. So yeah, we definitely recommend this one.
Yes, again, it is kind of explicit, and there is a suicide mention. But if you're not somebody who has problems with those two things, I would highly recommend it, especially if you like urban fantasy, because it is very much set in that world while also being a fresh take on it.
Yeah, it's definitely really fun, and I want everyone to buy this book so we get more.
Yes, please buy this book. I need to read the second one.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, thank you for listening to us. Now you can find us at some places.
That you can. So you can send us an email at badtastebookclub@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at badtastebookpod. We're on Tumblr at badtastebookclub, and we're also on Instagram at badtastebookclub. So give us a shout. Let us know
that you're listening.
And, like, did you like this book? Yeah, come hang out with us. Scream about vampires. Tell us how much you love gay cowboy hunters.
Yes. Yes. Actually, gay. You can also talk to us about Supernatural because we have lots of opinions about that.
Yeah, too. Leah wants to scream with you about how shithouse that finale was.
Pretty please, subscribe to our podcast and like us and give us 5 stars because we deserve it.
We do.
We're very good at this.
He is a gay cowboy monster hunter. It makes sense when you think about it like that.
In that it makes zero sense and it's great.
It makes sense to me. I wish everyone could see the faces Leah is making.
She's super hell free.
She is so mad. I have never seen her so mad.